This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. That is my, that's Gavin Rossdale, machine head, Bush. I've gone in to see him multiple times, Gavin Rossdale. So you can tell I'm a millennial, right? My first concert I ever went to in my life, I was 16 years old. And by the way, this is Lydia Serrani filling in for Jesse Kelly. Again, you can follow me on social media at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS, and you can watch me on Newsmax. I was a reporter at Fox 5 for several years. Then I was at WABC Radio in New York City, and now I'm at Newsmax Saturdays at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m. Eastern, and then Sundays at noon Eastern. I'm filling in for Carl Higbee this Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, and so I fill in on primetime usually during the week. So when I was 16 years old, I stole my parents' minivan. I got my license. I got my permit. And I had never – do you ever see that movie Clueless where the girls are on the highway and they start screaming like, ah, that was me. And so I went to high school in the Bronx, Cardinal Spellman, hey. And so I never – and I lived in Yonkers at the time. So it was like a 10-minute drive. And I never drove on the highway before. So I stole my parents' minivan and we loaded up all the I loaded up all my friends, these girls, because I was obsessed with Bush, and they were playing at Jones Beach, and I had to drive on the LIE, the Long Island Expressway. I mean, I remember I'd never even been to Long Island before. The only beach I would go to when I was 16, you know, living in the Bronx and Yonkers was Orchard Beach, which was a nasty beach. They actually kind of cleaned it up. So I had never been to Jones Beach. I had never, and here I was, like driving with like a van full of girls on our way. And the concert was epic. The lead act was Goo Goo Dolls, right? Goo Goo Dolls, then No Doubt and Bush. And this was late 90s. This was the height of Gavin Rossdale, the epitome of hotness. And he's like 60 years old now, and I still go and see him. My husband is aware. He's come with me. And I swear, Gavin Rossdale, every time I'm in the pit too, I'm one of those freaks. I'm one of those people that just, I have to be like by the stage. I get all into it. I get into the zone. I know all the songs. And we always make eye contact, Gavin Rossdale and I. In my mind, I have this, like, I think he knows who I am. And I met him just like at the concert, like, you know, I've touched him and stuff like that, you know, don't get him, not that kind of way I touched him. But anyway, I like alternative music, like Pearl Jam and that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's my jam. That's my jam. So that's like not a normal thing for a girl from the Bronx to love alternative music and hard music, but that's what I like. Guns N' Roses, all that kind of stuff from back then. And I feel like nowadays there isn't that kind of good music like the bands. Like, I don't know. Can you guys think? I don't have a call screener because we're bare bones because it's the holidays. I would love to hear from everybody. You could tell me on social media at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. There are no good new bands anymore. Back in the day, the Nirvanas and stuff like that. Where are those rock bands? What has happened? Green Day. And people say to me, they're like, well, Green Day is leftist or this Pearl Jam. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what your politics are. I really don't. As long as you still play that really good, amazing music. I know that guy, what's his name, Billy or something like that for Green Day. He talks smack about Trump. I don't care. I still love the music. I still listen to the Spotify. Imagine Dragons. I kind of like them. So anyway, that's my story. So now you kind of understand how I am. So I grew up in a very strict household. My parents, I didn't even speak English growing up. My sister got married very early. She was told to. And so here they have this daughter who wants to be a news reporter? And, you know, I stole their van to go see a concert. So I was like this rebel. Like, that was rebel. That was being a rebel. You know, I never did drugs in my entire life. I've never even smoked marijuana or any of that. I wasn't like into boys until like after college. I was a late bloomer. I was like a tomboy. I played sports and stuff like that. But I wore the baggy jeans. I was like I like to dress like Gwen Stefani type of situation. So the reason that's what brings me all to this. So Gwen Stefani is the lead singer of No Doubt. She was married to Gavin Rossdale and they met on this tour. And so they ended up getting divorced because Gavin cheated on her with the nanny, because guys are lazy and the nanny is, you know, she happens to just be there, like Arnold Schwarzenegger with the housekeeper, because she was there. You know, you guys are lazy. Sorry, no offense. So Gwen Stefani got a lot of hate recently because she was promoting that Halo app, which is a Christian app, right? And it's about prayer. I actually have the app. And all she did was say, you know, during this holiday season, we should pray more. And so there was all these articles written about her, slamming her, saying how dare she promote a anti-abortion app, that's what they called it. If you have the app, nowhere does it talk about abortion. It has masses. It has, if you want to pray the rosary, it has Bible stories. It never talks about abortion. And so, again, this is how the left manipulates. You look at the Huffington Post, you look at all these articles, and that's what it said. Gwen Stefani, you know, her famous song is Don't Speak. She needs to stop speaking as she promotes anti-abortion app. It's because she's a Catholic. And this is what happens with people. We're attacked for our religion. We're attacked. If you say, you know, people are offended, apparently, if you say Merry Christmas. And this comedian, he kind of went viral. I'll play it for you tomorrow. I'm filling in for Jesse tomorrow, too. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to say Merry Christmas anymore. I'm going to say to everybody, may we all celebrate the birth of the one true Savior, the Son of God, who is Jesus Christ. And maybe that's what we need to start saying. Instead of just saying Merry Christmas, may we all celebrate the birthday of the one true Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then maybe people won't get so offended. Maybe that's what we need to do from now on. But I wanted you to listen to J.D. Vance. He said that we are essentially a Christian nation. And that's what this country is about. Whether people like it or not, this is a Christian nation and one nation under God, I believe. So take a listen, clip number 3.
The only thing that has truly served as an anchor of the United States of America is that we have been, and by the grace of God, we always will be a Christian nation.
Yeah. Why was that offensive? And you have President Trump saying Merry Christmas. They put a nativity scene. That's what this holiday is about. I saw Dana Carvey, you know, the guy from SNL. He even pointed it out. He was on, I believe, with David Spade. They won't call it a Christmas tree. They call it a holiday tree. Christmas. Even my child, she goes to a public school. They said, oh, enjoy the holiday. And it says it on the calendar, holiday. They won't allow, you can't say it's Christmas. I mean, this is, you know, we got to push back. We got to push back. And and at what point, you know, I say Merry Christmas. If I know the person is Jewish, yeah, I still say Merry Christmas because it's my holiday. I mean, is Hanukkah still going on? I mean, I could say Happy Hanukkah. I don't have a problem. It just ended. Hanukkah just ended. So, yeah, I just say Merry Christmas because it is. It's Christmas. And I won't say like something else. It's Happy New Year. It's Merry Christmas. It's my holiday. And if it's their holiday, I'll say it's their holiday. Like Muslims got Bayram, whatever. So, well, whatever. So it's my holiday. It's our holiday. Merry Christmas, the one true Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, celebrating his birth. Maybe that's what we'll say. So when we come back, we'll continue to talk about our faith, what's going on in the world, and why we need to stand up for ourselves. We're also going to talk about Nancy Pelosi, what she thinks should happen with Joe Biden and how amazing he is. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. I'm Lydia Serrani, and we'll be right back.
This is The Jesse Kelly Show.
Welcome back to The Jesse Kelly Show. That is my girl, Gwen Stefani. She's under attack for being a Christian, for talking about her faith. It's so ridiculous. I just saw this. I saw this article that I'm sure you guys haven't heard about it either, because that's what I like to do. I want people, when they watch my shows, they listen to me, that they say, you know what that Lydia said? Because I feel like a lot of the true stories that matter to people aren't getting out there. And I saw this story. Christian NFL players call for action against religious persecution in Nigeria. The lives at stake cannot wait. More than 60 current and former NFL players are banding together and urging action from the U.S. against the ongoing religious persecution in Nigeria. The president, they sent the players sent the president a letter to high-ranking government officials, including, of course, the president, as well as House Speaker Mike Johnson. The letter writes, religious and ethnic persecution in Nigeria has reached a level that demands immediate concrete action from the United States. And it's, you know, among the 60 current and former NFL players, it's unbelievable. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them from Houston, the New York Giants, Brock Purdy, San Francisco 49ers, CJ Stroud, Houston Texans, Trayvon Henderson, New England Patriots, you name it. The letter writes, as men who have been entrusted with a public platform through the National Football League, we feel a moral responsibility to speak for those whose cries have gone unanswered for far too long. So why nobody talks about it, about what's going on in Nigeria, that there is kids are being, Boko Haram, that is an Islamic terror group. They'll just say, oh, it's warlords. They're fighting. They're infighting. Nobody wants to say what's really happening. And what's really happening is you've got Islamic radicals that are chopping people's heads off and they're kidnapping children, school children, killing priests and nuns. You name it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Why is that? Why is it? Is it because they're black? Maybe. They don't care. You see, Democrats only care about black people if they can manipulate them to vote for them. That's all they care to, because at the end of the day, if you think about it, welfare, all of the, this is institutionalized racism. That's why they want black people to be under their thumb. They don't want to lift up, the Democrat Party doesn't want to lift up black people. If they did, they wouldn't want this revolving door of justice when it comes to crime. Because although we're seeing, I just talked about it before, a lot of white women, women in general are victimized by these career criminals. The majority of crime victims are people of color, because the majority of people committing the crime are people of color, and they do it to their own people. That's what they do, because it's happening. Usually it's with gangs, and we're seeing in Chicago, the number one killer of young black men is other young black men. I mean, that's a fact, but they don't talk about that. So think about it. If Democrats really cared about young black men, why wouldn't they put the bad ones away that are killing the other ones? Why aren't they doing that? I don't know. And then they don't care. They don't care. If they cared about black people, Nigerians, they're black, why don't they care? Because it doesn't fit the narrative. They care if they're, maybe, you know what? Maybe they would care about the Nigerians if they wanted to be trans, right? If it fits their agenda, maybe then they'll care. Sunny Hostin, she's another black woman married to a cuck white guy. See, you see the trend here, right? You see the trend of these women of color. They said, you know, oh, this and that. And then their partner is a white dude, right? I think he's white. If he's not, regardless, he's a loser. Clip number 13, here's what she said.
This is a country based on racism and slavery and founded in it. There is systemic racism.
And misogyny.
And misogyny. So you have a president who traffics in misogyny, who traffics in xenophobia, who traffics in sexism.
And won
against a black woman. So don't tell me that this country is ready for a black woman. Don't tell me this country is, there's a reason why
outsider.
This country has only had one black male president. There's a reason.
We will see another black.
Oh my God. By the way, Sonny Hostin is married to a guy that's half white. So I was close, but he still looks like a loser. This is, you know, She's taller than him. He looks like a tiny little man. Little man. But yeah, look at that. It's always, oh, misogyny. It's always this. It's like, come on. Give me a break. They really think black people are stupid. It's really disgusting. And the whole DEI thing, I think it hurts black people more than anybody. And Latino people, it hurts them more than anybody. Because, you know, if you step onto a plane and your pilot's black, you can't help but think, oh my God, did this person get the job because they're black, because they had a quota to fill? See, people don't talk about, that's why we have a shortage of air traffic controllers and pilots, because they have quotas to fill. So you have to be, they have to make it diverse. That's why President Trump, it's like, why do we even have what color you are on your forms or for school? I remember one of my cousins, he was like number one ranked in his class and his dream was to go to Harvard, and he didn't get in, even though he was like number one ranked and did all these extracurricular activities, this and that, because he's white, even though his parents, like mine, fled a communist nation and he didn't even speak English growing up and all these and that. But meanwhile, he told me this kid that was black, that was ranked like 40, got in. And meanwhile, that kid was American for generations. So think about it. If we want to help people get a leg up, why wouldn't you help, say, the kid who is an immigrant who faced all these adversities? Why, just because you're black, you faced adversity? That's BS. You have black people here that they've been, it's not my fault that you've been here, your family's been here for generations. It's just unbelievable that this victim mentality, it continues. And I know here in New York City, a lot of them have the public housing. A lot of black people, you see it, they live in the public housing. And it's almost like success is de-incentivized. So a lot of them, they purposely don't get another job or don't want to get a higher paying job, because then they're going to lose the free housing. So what they do is they'll get a side cash job. And what could be a side cash job? It's usually something, you know, dabbling into illegal activities. So that is another thing. So if we wanted to help, say, you know, lower income communities or people of color, why don't we say to them, hey, we'll pay for the schooling, for this, for that? Instead, it's like, the poorer you are, the worse you are at life, the bigger the loser you are, the more the government wants to give you. We should be doing the opposite. We should be incentivizing people that are successful and not doing the opposite. But that's what we're doing in this country. When we come back, we're going to talk to Father Pavone. We're going to talk about Christianity. We're going to talk about our faith. We're going to talk about Christmas and more. This is the Jesse Kelly Show. I am Lydia Serrani.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. I am Lydia Serrani, filling in for Jesse Kelly. You can follow me on social media at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. I'm watching, we got Fox News on here. Brian Kilmeade, who is a really great guy, he's talking about the 60 Minutes report with Sharon Alfonsi. I talked about it earlier in today's show. So Sharon Alfonsi is really a wonderful woman, at least when I was in my early 20s, and she brought me out on my first they call them stand-ups. Very nice person, but she's upset because Barry Weiss, she is moderate, she leans to the right, she shelved the CBS piece because she felt like it wasn't balanced, and now people are threatening to quit. I worked at CBS for 5 years. I was my first TV, like, well, I was at The View too. Believe that. I was an intern at The View. And then I worked at CBS. I was a production assistant for the early show. And then I worked for Dan Rather for several years. I got to know him well. And he's a hardcore lefty. And when I was there, you know, as a young person, I was in the middle. And I'll admit it. And I got hit for this because I said this on TV. I voted for Barack Obama. I did. I know now people are probably turning it off. But no, I was a kid. I was young and I was like, hope and change for the future. And then I didn't vote for him the second time. I did not. And I've been on the right path ever since. But, you know, you are naive as a young person. You are naive. You are impressionable. You don't understand. And so that's why when I hear, we didn't have this when I was growing up. I'm sure you guys didn't either, about this whole trans craziness. So you can't get a tattoo. You can't buy beer. You can't buy wine. You can't get, you know, all these crazy things. You can, and yet, if you want hormones, if you want surgery, we know of 12-year-olds that are getting mastectomies, and this is what's happening. And now you have RFK Jr., who has made it now illegal to chop off a child's body parts, and he's getting hit for it. Clip number five.
The Trump administration will not stand by while ideology, misinformation, and propaganda push vulnerable young people into decisions they cannot fully understand and that they can never reverse. On my watch, HHS will stand for radical transparency and informed consent. We follow the evidence. We employ gold standard science. We honor the moral obligation to do no harm. There is divine worth in every person. It shines most brightly in our children. That worth commands us to protect them. And as long as I serve as HHS Secretary, this agency will do so. President Trump has made child protection a national priority. The Make Our Children Healthy Again strategy demonstrates that commitment. Sex-rejecting procedures rob children of their futures. So today we are taking six decisive actions guided by gold standard science and the week one executive order from President Trump to protect children from chemical and surgical mutilation. This morning I signed a declaration. Sex-rejecting procedures are neither safe nor effective treatment for children with gender dysphoria.
There you have it. There you have it. Now, and he's getting hate from the left for speaking the truth. It's gender dysphoria. These people are confused. They need help. These young children, and the parents are upset. So they bring the child to a psychiatrist who tells them, well, would you rather have an alive son or a dead daughter? You know, this is what they do. They scare the parents. So on with me right now is Father Pavone, Father Frank Pavone. He is he was ordained in 1988. He's a director for Priests for Life, a national co-chair, Pro-Life Voices for Trump. Father Pavone, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Lydia, it's always great to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
So, Father Pavone, you got kicked out of the priesthood, you know, and not for anything bad, but for speaking the truth. You got hate for speaking the truth because of a radical church leaders. Tell us about it. You advocate for the unborn. You advocate for children because that's who is the unborn. And you got hate for it. You risked it all for it. And this is what we keep seeing, people that are being persecuted for speaking the truth. So tell us what happened.
Well, yes. I've been involved in the pro-life movement since 1976. I was a teenager when I got involved in the movement. Then I also felt the call to the priesthood. And as a priest, you know, I was speaking out against abortion very, very strongly. And a few years into my priesthood, I said, I want to devote myself to this full time. And the church, at that time I was under Cardinal John O'Connor in New York, they said yes. They gave me permission to lead this ministry, Priests for Life. And, you know, for the next three decades, I did this full time. And until I got to the point where, you know, the ministry was becoming very, very large, very effective, and that threatened some of the left-leaning members of the hierarchy who, as my canonical advisor told me, what they cannot control, they kill. So they tried to limit our ministry. It didn't succeed because people support our work all around the country. And so when they didn't succeed in destroying the ministry, they took away my priesthood. I still lead the ministry. It's still growing because, Lydia, like you're saying, the war, it is actually a war against children, which is going on. That's not just, you know, my opinion, your opinion. You know, St. John Paul II wrote about this back when he was Pope, but he died in 2005. And he said, yes, there's a deliberate war going on of the strong against the weak. And whether these children are in the womb or whether they are in our schools, there's a terrible war. It's the same that it's a war against marriage. It's a war against the family. It's a war against the innocence of young life. And when we speak up about that, that's those same warriors in the radical left culture of death are going to treat us the advocates for these children in the same way that they treat the children themselves. They will try to obliterate us in one way or another.
Again, we're speaking with Father Frank Pavone, and Mother Teresa, again, she is our Albanian hero. She talked about abortion. She said, I feel the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we can accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? How do we persuade a woman not to have an abortion? As always, we must persuade her with love, and we must remind ourselves that love means to be willing to give until it hurts. And yet, and we know the number one killer of black babies is abortion. And again, you have the Democrat Party that advocates for the killing of children. I mean, what do you think, Father Pavone, can you be a Christian and be a Democrat?
Not anymore. Certainly there was a time when you could. And the reason that we say this is not to judge any particular person. I know that obviously, I mean, in my own life, in the lives of so many of our listeners, we know people who identify as Democrats, and we say, wait a minute, these are very good people. They're very Christian people. When we say this, we're not judging any particular individual. What we're saying is that being a Christian, it means that you embrace certain teachings. One of them we're talking about now, the sanctity of life, and there are many other teachings, the meaning of marriage, the meaning of family, and many other moral stances as well. Christianity has a content. It's not just, oh, I pray to God, I believe in Jesus. Jesus taught certain specific things. He established a church which teaches very specific things. So it's not, let me just put the label on myself and I'll invent whatever I want to believe. It has a content. Then you look at the Democrat Party. It has a content too. There are certain dogmas. There are certain positions in the platform and in the what has become the, you might say, the ideological practice and commitment of the Democrat Party. And one of those things is to unlimited abortion. I mean, find me a Democrat that says there should be certain limits on even late-term abortion, and I'll give you a prize, because they're awful hard to find.
Right.
We're talking about, the people, in positions, in public positions. So this is why what you just said is true. You cannot be, not in our day and age.
Don't go anywhere, Father Pavone. We're going to continue this conversation. If you guys remember, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she was denied communion, the Eucharist, which we Catholics believe is the body of Christ. This was by San Francisco Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione. He publicly stated in May 2022 that she was barred from receiving Holy Communion because of her persistent support of killing the unborn, unfettered. She wanted you to be able. She still believes it. So this woman's going to burn in hell. We're going to talk a little bit more about her, because I'm not here to judge. I know, Father, you don't judge people. I judge her. I think she's a horrible, disgusting human being. When we return, stay there, Father. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue talking about this and why Christian persecution continues to be ignored, but not by President Trump. He is looking into it. We're going to get to the bottom of it. Don't go anywhere. I'm Lydia Serrano in for Jesse Kelly, and we're going to be right back.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
Welcome back to the Jesse Kelly Show. I am Lydia Serrani at Lydia News, LIDIANEWS. It's been so amazing to be on with you guys this evening. I'll be back tomorrow to fill in for Jesse again. We were talking before about Nancy Pelosi and what a disgrace she is. And she claims to be a Catholic like Joe Biden. And I want you to clip 9. Here's what she said about Joe Biden. She was talking to 60 Minutes correspondent. Listen to this.
Such a consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States. Want to know what comes next?
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden.
She's so crazy. She's Father Pavone. Why is it that the church is I don't even want to say it's forgiving, so permissible when it comes to people that openly contradict fundamentally what the church stands for and what Jesus Christ himself would be vehemently against. So why allow people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and these and Kathy Hochul, who claims to be Catholics, why allow them to get to allow them to receive the body of Christ? What kind of message does that send?
Well, Lydia, it's bad leadership. And you know, that's actually how our ministry arose. Some years ago, I got into a big public spat with Nancy Pelosi because in a press conference where she was asked about legislation limiting late-term abortion and whether she'd be in favor of that, she starts off by saying, oh, well, you know, I'm a sincere practicing Catholic, you know. And then when people started pointing out, myself included, that, wait a minute, your position contradicts the very Catholic faith you claim to embrace, you know what her response was? Oh, well, you know, this is a private matter, you know, between me and God and you know, my bishop and my priest. I said, wait one minute. You are the one who said you're a faithful practicing Catholic. At that moment, you made your faith a public matter. And you said that in reference to a piece of legislation. You could have just addressed the legislation. You could have just addressed the fact that your party and your policies allow killing a healthy baby carried by a healthy mother in the 7th, 8th, and 9th months of pregnancy. But no, you didn't want to address the merits of the issue. You wanted to try to hide behind your, oh, faithful, sincere, practicing Catholic. You didn't have to bring up your faith at all. I say the same thing about Joe Biden. You know, oh, I carried a rosary and, oh, I received
in
communion.
My pocket.
Why do we...
Yep.
You know, why do we care about that? We elected you to be a president, not a pastor. Tell us about the policy and try to justify. So the bottom line is, Lydia, you know why these people feel so confident in invoking their Catholicism and taking positions completely contrary to Catholicism? Because they have got priests that they go to who are misleading them. They're not coming to this on their own. They're not theologians. They're relying on priests who are telling them, oh, you know, don't worry, there's justification for taking these positions. That's why I lead a ministry called Priests for Life, because it's time, there's need for reform in the church. Just like we've got weak and cowardly politicians that'll talk and talk and talk, and you don't know what in the world they just said, so we have the same problem in the pulpit, where you've got this vacuous, cowardly, beating around the bush. They're talking and they're not changing anyone. They're not challenging anyone. It's all this feel good garbage. No, we need renewal within the clergy. Just we need the spirit that President Trump has brought into the political world, and the fight, and the clear talking, and the kind of talking that resonates with the hearts and passions of the American people sitting in their living rooms. This is what we need coming from the pulpit, and that's what our ministry tries to do. And it includes challenging exactly the problem you are just bringing out. In the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, and unfortunately a whole bunch of others at various levels of government.
Father Frank Pavone, I always love having you on. And where again can people find you and reach you and talk to you? Because you are just—I love the way you are just such a defender, of course, of the unborn, but also of the truth.
Well, thank you. I'm at Fr. Frank Pavone on all the social media platforms, Fr. Frank Pavone. And our main website is prolifecentral.org, prolifecentral.org.
Father Pavone, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
Thanks, Lydia. God bless you.
All right. God bless everyone out there listening to this. You know, there is even these nativity displays. I saw it in, I think it's Needham, Massachusetts, where they said, oh, Mary, they don't have Mary and Jesus there. We all know that baby Jesus isn't there until Christmas Day, but they don't even have Mary and Jesus. And they said, oh, it's because of ICE, and the archdiocese told them to put them back, and the priest is refusing. You know, they stop comparing what's going on with Mary and Jesus and Joseph, because they were not illegal aliens. They were going to Egypt. They left Bethlehem. They were going to answer for a census. So stop with the lies. Stop with the BS. Stand up for the truth. And I actually go to a different church now because my priest was spewing these stupid nonsensical lies about migrants and this and that. You know, it's at the end of the day, you just got to call it like it is and speak the truth, because what did Jesus say? I'm the way, the truth, and the light, right? He didn't say, I'm not going to tell you the truth if it hurts your feelings. So it's been an awesome experience being with you guys as always. Again, I'm Lydia Serrani, Lydia News LIDIANEWS. God bless you guys. Merry Christmas. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow, and have a great and blessed night. And trust and remember that God is with you and always, always.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.